Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is my good friend Tony Arnold from WBEZ-FM. And as I always joke, we try to bring public radio here to WGN through my show. And we'll do it literally now. But yeah. Tony's been watching all of this school stuff. And one aspect that we've talked about in this whole issue of school funding, and it's all about, frankly, all the attention here is about CPS. And in speaking to Senate Republican Leader Brady, I was trying to broaden that conversation because downstate schools, suburban schools, you know, various tweaks that the governor made in rewriting the bill, they have consequences throughout the state. It's not just Chicago Public Schools. And when the governor says, well, we're going to shift this money so that other schools throughout the state benefit, not just Chicago, well, that might work for the first year or so. It's the out years that are the real question in this.
Right. And I mean, look, we're talking about a formula, right? It's a math formula that it's a very complex way of, this is not seventh grade, you know, art algebra here that we're talking about. This is, there's a lot of factors that go into a formula that decides.
There's political calculus.
There's also that, which is maybe a little bit harder to define than just the hard numbers. But when you're talking about the governor's mandatory veto and how he changed this bill that changes how the state money is dispersed to schools and what poor areas get versus the wealthier areas. We're kind of in this limbo right now where we're waiting to see the hard numbers, right, from the governor's changes, his veto.
Right. The scoring by the State Board of Education to take a look. And the governor, you know, last week said, well, you know, these are going to be the best numbers you ever saw.
He said, you want to see the numbers, go to our website.
Well, that was first.
And then the website got put behind a password protection screen, and you couldn't check it for a while. Now it sounds like this week, to look into the future a little bit here about where this whole thing's going and if schools are going to open or not, it sounds like some numbers are going to be coming out. Like the scoring's been done or is being done, I should say, and maybe we'll get some harder numbers from the Board of Education about what exactly this is going to do.
But one of the things the governor said was, well, part of the reason Democrats held the bill, now, of course, we've heard because to foment crisis. Mm-hmm. And frankly, there is an effort to create pressure on Republican lawmakers to support an override of the governor's changes. There's no doubt about that. But the governor went on to allude that part of the reason Democrats held the bill was because they didn't want to have the State Board of Education score his changes. And they couldn't do it until he had done his mandatory veto.
Right.
Which a number of people have said, if he wanted to find out what it would do, he could have gotten it scored.
He could have released his own plan.
By the way, the State Board of Education is appointed by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
They could have put it in a new bill.
Right.
That kind of thing.
And as we're going through it, and particularly as Democrats who actually get a vote over the future of this mandatory veto go through it, we're starting to see the reaction here. Senator Andy Menar, who's the Democrat, Senate Democrat's key point person on this whole bill and has been for years, said that he had a map that showed all these districts around the state are going to be losing money, not just Chicago and other parts of the state, too. The Civic Federation, which is just this kind of the financial watchdog group in Chicago, it's nonpartisan, they had a report out on Friday going through this saying, well, if the governor's changes go into effect, he factors in how many students are enrolled in a school into the formula, and there's more than 500 schools around the state that have been losing population in terms of students and attendance. So that means less money for those schools down the road. It's not an immediate thing, but it is in a few years. And if that trend continues, then what the governor does would mean less money for those schools.
Well, and that's one thing when we talk about the Board of Education to give these district-by-district scorecard that it's supposed to come out with later this week, they're not going to factor in out years. So, you know,
they'll be looking at the immediate, what's year one kind of, and what the Democrats and Civic Federation, too, are warning is like, well, this is supposed to be for the future, right? It took more than 20 years to get us to ramp up to talk about this right now. And everyone says, well, that was a terrible formula, and the state lived with that for, as you said, 30 years. So if this is the one shot that there is to do it, that's why you're seeing, I think, so much politics being driven into this as well, because that it's not often that you come back to revisit some of these major issues. Think about the pension bill that was passed a few years ago and was found unconstitutional. It's been several years now, and that hasn't been readdressed, but that was a crisis back when that was being talked about. Not that the situation's gotten any better, but you can see
it's
the
not
politics.
The crisis du jour.
It moves from one section to another, right? So this is if this is the ramp up to this whole changing the school funding formula before school starts. This is, I don't know that next year this is the same conversation could happen. This is kind of the big shot here.
Yes. And even still, it's still steeped in election year politics.
Absolutely. And that's why you're seeing the candidates for governor on the Democratic side are talking about this. You're seeing the governor, as he tours the state, talking about big bad Chicago to other communities. It's all part of the calculation, right, for how the next year is going to be playing out up until next November.
We're speaking with Tony Arnold, my good friend, politics reporter for WBEZ FM in Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. You're listening to WGN Radio. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. And joining me here in the studio is Tony Arnold, political reporter for WBEZ-FM. We're talking about the issue of the school funding snafu, the fact that we have an amendatory veto from the governor of a Democratic-passed bill, and that amendatory veto doesn't look like it's going anywhere. The question is whether Democrats in both chambers can override the governor's changes, much like they did with Republican assistance in enacting a state budget after 2 years. Now, schools are going to be opening in a matter of days, basically. I haven't heard of any school district that says that schools won't open.
Not for day one.
Right. But that even creates even more uncertainty, because you're talking about the fact if there is no state money flowing through the state aid formula for schools, at what point do some of these schools have to close?
Right.
And that's in the school year. And, through the 2 year plus impasse over the budget, one of the trigger points everybody thought would be, well, what if the schools can't open? And, of course, the legislature and the governor navigated around that by, for example, vetoing an entire state budget except for the funding for schools.
Isn't that something, right?
Right.
There was an impasse that affected the universities, social services, but the schools...
Schools must open.
They did a budget for the schools, yeah. And now it's the school's turn. There's a state budget, and now it's time for the schools to be at the center of this impasse.
One of the things I told Senate Republican Leader Brady was, in reporting this, and frankly, you and I probably have learned more about the state school aid formula than we ever cared to know, but that in reporting this and also with social media and all that kind of stuff, that I think I've attracted, 100 new followers on my Twitter account who are superintendents, principals, or teachers in downstate Illinois. And you think politically, here you have this Republican version, as you said, we would move to from a district hold harmless that would be a guarantee forever to a floating 3-year average of student attendance as the basis for state aid, one of the basis for state aid. And you have these districts that are largely in Republican areas that are affected by the changes in this bill, not only the per pupil issue and number of downstate schools that have been seeing declining enrollment. You also have the issue of the property tax caps that are in the suburbs, and schools can't tap those higher property values because they're capped on what they can levy. Yep. And so, but that would still count against them in how much state aid you get. And everybody knows in the suburbs, they hardly get anything for state aid. That's been why their property taxes are so high.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear, have this in context of the last 2 years, right? When all this talk's been going on about a freeze of property taxes.
Right.
So not only then are they capped, but then to freeze them for an extended period of time, whether it's 2 years or 4 years. Now, that never got passed, obviously, but it was one of the key sticking points that...
And it's still one of the key talking points for Governor Rauner.
So, yeah, and there are negotiations, for lack of a better word, that are happening related to this school funding formula impasse. Between the Republicans and Democrats. It's not between Governor Rauner and Speaker Madigan. They aren't in the room, but their allies are, right? Democrats, House Democrats, Senate Democrats, House Republicans, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans are meeting. And the Republicans have said, we are talking about still some of the same issues, like freezing property taxes, like school mandate reform, and this other idea of... they're calling it a tax scholarship fund.
And I want to ask you about that.
Another name is vouchers, but yeah, it's a different form of that.
So what are they talking about? It's it would be $100 million is the rough number that's being tossed around.
For now, yeah. It's finally we got some more details, I guess, than have been released on late Friday about what this program is, at least what the advocates are calling for who push for this. And this was given to me by a principal on the south side of Chicago who's in favor of it's a private Catholic school. This draft proposal calls for it's $100 million of a scholarship program. And this would basically allow for people who to be eligible to qualify for these a scholarship to go to a private school, a parochial school, even a public school in a different town. And one of the things that jumped out to me about this proposal, and again, it's just a proposal, it's not even in a bill form yet, to even be discussed publicly. But one of the things that's jumped out to me was who would be eligible for this. It's not just low-income people. It's 2.5 times the people who are eligible for free or reduced lunches. When you do that math, it's about 100. If a family of four makes $114,000 a year, you would qualify for one of these scholarships to send your kid to another school. That is going to drastically change enrollment at public schools around the state. This is if this were enacted, I mean, this is a giant change.
And where does the money come from?
Well, the money comes from people who donate to this $100 million fund. It would be basically replacing their tax money is what it would be doing.
Give
your money, your tax money to this scholarship fund, and that's diverting your tax money from the state government to this school pot of money.
Because it would be an income tax deduction.
That's right. And so, and one other part of this draft proposal is, yeah, it's a $100 million program in year one. If they raise 90% of their funding, basically $90 million in year one, then this calls for letting it grow 25% every year after that. So in year two, it'd be $125 million. In year three, keep doing that math. That's too much for me. I can't do it.
It's too early on a
Sunday. The point is that it can keep growing, and more people can keep contributing even more money to this program. And so it's it would just be a complete change to so much about how students think about how parents think about school for their students in Illinois. This would be a drastic change. It's something that other states have enacted similar programs to this, and in here around Illinois, the Catholic Church has been supportive of this because they have Catholic schools, right? And so this is something that it's something that hasn't really been talked about that much, but we did some reporting on it when Governor Rauner first came on board because he was talking about this very plan.
So, but when you throw that into the mix, and what we were just talking about, this issue of shifting the funding kind of base to a per pupil for mm-hmm. public schools, mm-hmm. you throw this kind of into the mix and the effects that could have on that per pupil funding issue.
Right. That in theory, then you're going to have fewer, even fewer kids in public school, And then if this formula, you know, were passed, then that's that in this as it is, which it doesn't sound like it will, but we'll see. Then that would be even less money for public
and schools. And even though these scholarships would be funded, vouchers be funded by donations to this, it would still result in a $100 million loss to the state treasury.
Yeah, I mean that's money that's not going
because
to
the
state
tax
government.
It's going to attack
this scholarship program, exactly. Yeah.
So at a time when the state is still having trouble paying its bills, bills that would include paying for public school education, there's the potential that there could be this $100 million loss.
If this all goes
or,
into effect,
or diversion,
right?
As it were.
Yeah.
So
now I think there's been some questions. Again, this is a draft of a proposal, and these negotiations, these are sidebars to the overall amendatory veto.
And truly, we have not sought to elicit a response from the governor on this as whether this is a must-have component for any final deal.
It sounds like he wants it. We also got a statement from the House Republican leader, Jim Durkin, who said that he would like to see it as a part of negotiations or a part of a final deal. But he also said, you know, things are very fluid right now. As far as how much of a political reality this is, I think that there could be some bipartisan support. But the thing to remember here is that the unions, the teachers' unions, really do not like this program. For some kind of obvious reasons, because it's going to take public school students away. And so then at a time when there's been this whole union fight, right, going on in Springfield between the Republicans and Democrats, are the Democrats really going to upset some of the base, some of their base here as a result of this program?
Particularly as we get ever closer to the 2018 elections.
There you go.
Tony Arnold from WBEZ-FM, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having
me. I appreciate it very much. We'll be back with more right after this.